What's the argument, you think, from a traditional agent that may be more transactional than have a fiduciary standpoint and really advise somebody, which could mean maybe it's not time to buy or sell real estate now?
Today we are here with Tim Bray to dissect an article he recently posted, both on the Seaport website as well as on an Active Rain blog regarding the market and whether or not it's always a good time to buy and sell.
Definitely a controversial topic. My stance is that it's not always a good time to buy or sell real estate.
That kind of goes against the traditional view of, as an agent, it's always a good time to buy and sell, even if it's a little bit more challenging to...
But isn't the agent... I don't, to the defense of the agent, I don't think that agents across this country are expected to advise their client as opposed to sell them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough statement.
That because seems to be where you're ruffling feathers.
Right,
sure.
We're salespeople.
Right.
Right? So what's the argument, you think, from a traditional agent that may be more transactional than have a fiduciary standpoint and really advise somebody, which could mean maybe it's not time to buy or sell real estate now.
Right. And then you're looking at, I think from a sales perspective, that's a hard, well, I'll say there, I have a couple different thoughts on that.
Sure.
I think from a sales perspective, that's hard because if you're a good salesperson, you know, you have the ability
to
get the, I'll get the job done. So, you know, some people are in tune with that perspective and the challenge of it, right? Like that's fun. Hard, even if in a hard market, you can get it done. But I think it's also understanding from an advisory perspective, really where does an agent, a real estate agent, fit into advising with?
I don't think there's a training module out there for that. Especially if you're in a difficult market where you're leveraged.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've got, let's say, a certain amount of money that you need to make a month,
mm-hmm.
and there's a deal that's in front of you, you're probably less likely to advise and more likely to sell. So there are a bunch of different variables that come into play, I think, with this. I think this is like an onion. I mean, there are layers on this one. I mean, you may have an agent who just closed, you know, had the best year, coming off their best year, and they run into a situation where they know that it may not be in the best interest for their client to buy or sell. And because they've got this pool of funds that's sitting there and they're flush,
mm-hmm.
they're able to say, advise that client that, hey, based on what I know, you may not be making a good decision. But doesn't it come down to asking that set of questions before you actually start working with the client? Right? And they're hard questions. Right? You're asking them personal financial questions. What are their motives? How long are they going to be, if they're buying, how long do they plan on being in that property?
Yeah, right. What's their goal with actually having a property? Because it's interesting, we work in both residential and commercial. So we're looking at, I think, a great opportunity in terms of mixed types of investments and building out real estate portfolios. And that's where I see advising coming in and being a key, I'll say, benefit of what we do here, is that we do ask all those questions. And then based on, you know, what their true goal is, whether it's a home, passive income, owning investment properties to sit on, we can then start to formulate an actual strategy that builds up an investment portfolio for them, which I think is, maybe it's controversial, but I think it's certainly different than what most people think of when they're considering how they invest.
Why is it with us? It's funny, when we put a property on the market, and I'm going to gravitate towards the commercial side since you just brought it up. I love the commercial side, and I know you do as well, because it's numbers-based. It's analytics. It's cash flow analysis.
Right.
It's looking at internal rate of returns. It's looking at the objectives of the buyer or the seller and seeing if the numbers actually work. Are there opportunities in a property that maybe the current owner doesn't see?
Mm-hmm.
How can we improve that property to increase cash flow?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we have the ability to take the emotions out of it, which is what you typically find on the res side, which we love res. We still do our residential and we do it extremely well. And we've mm-hmm. done some really high end stuff.
Yeah. I was just going to say, love the high end.
Right. But it's it's the numbers, it's the analytics. It's, yeah. If we are talking the residential side, it's knowing where we are in the real estate cycle and knowing that certain towns provide a level of risk that mm-hmm. are different. You may be one town over and this town is perceived to maybe correct, I'm going to use the word correct, by 30%. Whereas this town over here may have higher household incomes and it's only going to correct by 2 or 3%. You know what I mean? So it's like we take all the analytics in, and yes, given the information we have, we may be telling somebody it's not a good time to buy or sell, but we base it on data.
Data. Yeah, we
and past history and education and failures. Yeah, right? It's from our, when we screwed up, it's like that's what we're passing on to our clients.
Yeah, exactly.
And experiences.
You mentioned risk, and I think that that's a good thing to bring up, because you're right. In some markets, we may say...
Can you say that again?
That it's a good thing to bring up.
No, that I was right?
Risk. Oh, yes, you're right.
Thank you.
Do you not hear it enough?
I thought I heard it. I just wanted to...
Tim was right.
Doesn't happen very often, no.
But it's interesting, because I think that factors... I think that's a key that we need to point out as well, right? So you may have... advice where we're going to say it's not a time to buy. Or we may say, you know, depending on how risk averse someone is, here's some potential opportunity. But we use the data that we can watch the trend. So if there's that history is showing that while the risk may be high, the reward could be even greater based on the historical data that we pulled together. So,
and the answer to a question we may know, like you may look at it and say, look, this is a really bad time to buy. We're at the peak of the market. But if you ask them the question, how long are you going to be in the perceived, you're going to be in the home,
right?
That erases all the mistakes.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to be in that property for 20 years, then it doesn't matter where you bought it. You're going to get the functionality of the property, and you're going to end up perfectly fine at the end of the term.
Right.
But if you say you're in that market for 3 years, and you need to sell it, maybe you're in the military, you're at the peak, and you're going to sell it, you better have plan B, which is, who's going to manage this property? Because there's no way I'm going to be able to sell it if I'm leveraged at the end of this term.
Right. And I think for us, too, it's taking them through plan B, right?
Right.
So it's not... the transaction of the one deal, and okay, you better have a plan B. Here's the house. Thank you very much for the business, and on they go. It's like, let's work you through what plan B looks like. Okay, so in 3 years, you are going to sell. Here's what you should be looking at doing in terms of maintaining your property.
That's right.
And here's your plan. Let's work on starting to formalize that plan for property management or whatever it may be. The other thing I really like is remodeling and decorating and all that good stuff. So it's like, advising on, okay, here's a purchase or here's something you could buy. How do we build you out or project how to build out so that
you maximize your return?
You maximize, exactly.
So that's, I think that's a whole different conversation that we can have, because we can really dig deep on how much is too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're living in a neighborhood that you're already, you know, all the houses are, you know, built in the 60s and they're all run down.
Right.
And nobody's renovating, well, that neighborhood's on the downslope.
Yes.
Why are you going to put all this money in if you're not going to get it back out?
Yeah.
Thank you for your energy.
Absolutely.
Because this is going to be fun. I mean, I have a feeling we're going to have some conversations that are delicate. Push back, please. If you're watching this, question us. I mean, we're not trying to start fights. We're not trying to argue. We want to have conversations.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be educated as well as educate everybody else.
But
healthy debate. And if you want more conversations like this that will help people to grow and maybe shake you up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And grow your pockets.
That's it. Like, follow us.
And subscribe.
We're going to put out a lot of content that you may have seen me put out 5+ years ago from a different perspective now. And I think that this is going to be extremely fun.
I agree.
All right,
thank you. We're also going to have some great guests coming in.
Oh, absolutely. She's going to kick me out of here as much as she possibly can. Get somebody in here that's actually interesting.
Hopping in the driver's seat.
That's it. All right, thank you.
Thank you.